Hey, everybody, we're back. All right, we're still going to take entries for the muzzleloader contest. We're giving it away this hour, and that is a Wolf CVA muzzleloader from the fine folks at CVA, Connecticut Valley Arms, CVA.com, if you'd like to see what it is. They're the makers of the CVA muzzleloading rifles and power belt bullets, among other things, Bergera barrels and others. And we'll just take your phone call with your name and number. We'll put you in the contest. You'll be in the contest not only for November, but will also be December. And we'll start the December contest off that way. So everybody that called last hour's in both November and December. Everybody that calls this hour will be eligible for November, December. Everybody gets a ticket. The ticket is drawn by our independent producer near the end of the show, and somebody will win a muzzleloader today. So there we are. Now, on the line, we have John Mollican, Maryland Department of Natural Resources. John, you with us?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's your formal title?
I'm the District 2 biologist for the Western region, also the large river specialist for the Inland Fisheries Division.
Large river specialist.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's see. Large, and just in the Western region?
No, I that includes the Potomac River and all of its major warm water tributaries.
Okay, what about Susquehanna? Is that somebody else? Or that's a tidal river, I guess.
Well, for the most part. That's kind of a unique situation there.
It's okay.
Tailwater, tidal.
Yeah, okay. All right, but primarily the Potomac River, and we're talking today about walleyes, good to eat, and muskies, good fighting fish.
Yes, they are.
Yes, indeed. Year-round fishing opportunities. You got guys fishing for them now?
Yes, we do. That's kind of what they bring to the fishery. They're relative newcomers to the fishery compared to smallmouth, which were introduced back in the late 1800s.
Right.
So they're relative newcomers to the fishery, but they have become very popular, and both species have developed a pretty strong following. And they remain active even during the cold winter months.
Sure.
When smallmouth become much more difficult to catch.
Right.
And so they offer, you know, a new angle, a new wrinkle for fishermen, and give them something to chase when it's cold.
Well, now, the smallmouth used to be the fish in November. You knew Butch Ward, I'm sure.
Yes, I did. I had the pleasure of fishing with Butch a few times.
And Butch was a wild man on the smallmouth. I mean, he kind of put the upper Potomac for the big smallmouth on the map up there in the Hagerstown area. And Butch and I had conversations that went like this: you guys go deer hunting in November while I'm fishing, you know. And he's right. I mean, it's prime time for those big fish right now. So, but are they as near in numbers as they used to be back in the mid '80s and mid '90s, John? The big smallmouth.
The smallmouth.
Yeah.
Yes, our surveys indicate, and we have done a combination of. In addition to our electrofishing surveys that we do on the Potomac annually in the fall, we also recently have conducted a creel survey
for right.
anglers. And while we don't have the exact method that was the survey wasn't done prior,
right.
there was a similar survey that determined catch rates and the catch rate for smallmouth over 12 inches, kind of a diary program that was done back in the late 70s and 80s.
Right.
And the catch rates for smallmouth today are as good or better
good.
Than what those surveys indicated fishermen were catching. And incidentally, some of those angler diaries, Butch Ward was a participant in those.
Right. Exactly. Well, all right. Let's move on to walleyes. When did we start focusing on walleyes in the upper Potomac?
Well, like I mentioned, they are, relative compared to the smallmouth, they're
right.
a relative newcomer. And stocking began in 1979. And through a combination of stocking, fry, and fingerlings, and some natural reproduction, the population was maintained for the next 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
By 2000, it appeared that the population might be able to maintain itself through natural reproduction. And no stocking took place from 2001 through 2011.
Okay.
We had a particularly large year class, several times magnitude greater than any that we've seen before or since, that occurred in 2001, and that had a large part in carrying the fishery for the next 10 years or so. We've recently, we thought, although we've had some consistent reproduction in the last 10 years, the reproduction has been fairly low. So we once again resumed stocking, feeling that the fishery could benefit from some supplemental stocking.
So you started restocking in 20. You started in 79, continued up till
up through 2000.
Through 2000, and then you took a break for about 10 or 12 years, and now you're putting the you're using the fingerlings that have been the otolith has been dyed, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's a way that we can determine what the contribution of the stocked fish is to the population.
Yeah, exactly. And I toured the hatchery in southern Maryland where they were doing the dyeing of the otolith with shad. They were doing shad.
Right.
Hickory
it's
shad.
It's a very similar process.
Yeah.
It uses oxytetracycline, which is an antibiotic drug that when the fish are exposed to it, it's absorbed through the gills.
Right.
And then that will bind with calcified or bone structures. And then, of course, one of the first bone structures that develops in walleye is the otolith.
Right.
That makes it particularly good.
In the ear.
Right. That's like an inner ear bone.
Right.
And when those otoliths are removed and they have to be looked at under some specialized microscope using
right.
UV light, that... that mark or the otolith will phosphoresce or fluoresce
right.
Under the UV light and
right.
identify that as a hatchery fish.
A hatchery fish, right. And the way they were doing it is they were doing like a three-day progression. They would put the little hatchlings, the little tiny shad, I mean, we're talking fish that are three-quarters of an inch long, they would put them all in this vat, basically, of the dye. And let's say they put them in on day three of their life, then they'd take them out, then they'd put them in on day, you know, five, and then they'd put them back in on day seven, and then you would have markers for, you know, you would have a 357 code, so to speak. I don't know if it's similar with the walleyes or any other fish, but it was fascinating to see that, and then watch them, the big close up on the microscope, the show you the markings on the fish. It's just amazing science as far as fisheries is
right.
concerned.
It's very similar the way it's done for walleye, and that like I said, that gives us a unique way of being able to mark a very large number
right.
of small fish that you couldn't mark any other way. And you know, we stocked 25,000 fingerling walleyes,
right?
And so this is a way for us to go ahead and be able to go back
and do the electroshocking and
to the fishery will be.
Sure, exactly. So, I mean, people don't understand what biologists do. They just look at the river and they go, you know, I wonder if there's any fish in there. They don't have any. They see you out there. They don't have any idea, you know, what your day to day is. But here, you know, you're putting 25,000 fish in here. You're monitoring those fish stocks. You're actually out there working. Doing surveys, doing biology, monitoring migrations and things like that. Now, the walleye, do they actually migrate, John?
Yes, they do. Walleyes are known to travel quite a bit. And in river systems, it wouldn't be uncommon for walleyes to move 20, 30 miles during the course of the season looking for spawning areas. They'll move through the fall and winter searching for are moving towards, in the case of the river, shallow riffle spawning areas.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do so, they tend to concentrate below barriers or obstructions that would either slow down their migration or cease them from moving upstream, as in the case of dams.
So when we fished, we were fishing below dam number four up there near Sharpsburg, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And we were fishing relatively early, but we were in that special season between January 1st and April 15th, I believe. Didn't we fish in March or
yes.
early April,
yes.
if I remember?
Mm-hmm.
You got a minimum size at that time of 15 inches, and then there's a 20-inch maximum during that size to protect the spawning fish.
Right. Right. The idea of a maximum size might be new to a lot of fishermen.
That's a slot limit, basically.
Yes, because we maintain that minimum size during that period. In essence, yes, it's a slot limit.
Right.
And the reason that regulation was enacted for the Potomac is because of that spawning migration. You have a concentration of mature fish frequently in a relatively small area.
Right.
And whenever you have that, that makes for
easy pickings.
Successful conditions for fishing.
Sure.
And the idea is that we want to give those mature fish, the mature females in particular, that at that age would be 4 years old or greater, that gives them protection during a time when they're most vulnerable to harvest, so that by doing that, they have a greater likelihood to be able to live another year. And that not only improves the size distribution of the population, but while they're on the spawning grounds, it also protects the mature females from harvest until after they have an opportunity.
After they spawn, sure. All right, John, hang in there. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back with a couple more questions on walleyes, and then we'll start talking about muskies a little bit. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, how about that? Chesapeake Outdoors on Kent Island. When you go hunting or fishing on the Eastern Shore, be sure to stop by Chesapeake Outdoors on Kent Island for the largest selection of hunting gear, apparel, and fishing tackle. Chesapeake Outdoors has firearms and ammunition for deer and waterfowl, compound and crossbows by Matthews and Excalibur, outdoor clothing and camo by Under Armour and Drake Waterfowl, hunting boots, hip boots, waders, lots of clothing, by the way. Just want to mention that. If you, whatever size you are, you can find a good selection there. Goose and duck calls and every accessory you need for your hunting adventure. Services at Chesapeake Outdoors include goose and duck picking. Picking, yes, they pick them, pluck them, bow tuning and repair, custom arrows, scope mounting, and much more. They even have the Bubba Blade knives for fish filleting or cutting up your meat, or for a great gift for that sportsman on your list. Ice for your cooler is also available. For fishermen, if you need it, they've got it. From panfish to rockfish, you're covered at Chesapeake Outdoors. Just off Route 50 East at Dominion Road, exit 39B on Kent Island. Phone number is 410-604-2500. That's 410-604-2500. And the friendly and courteous staff will be more than glad to show you anything you need, want, or could imagine for fishing and hunting at Chesapeake Outdoors. Alan Ellis here for Hammer Hollow Outfitters. Looking for a place to hunt for quality deer or waterfowl? Hammer Hollow Outfitters has thousands of acres spread over 9 farms on Maryland's Eastern Shore. Brian Doyle and Ken Kirchner are dedicated to your success and your safety. Hammer Hollow has proven blinds for ducks and geese, and their farms produce big bucks year after year. Your chances are good for a fair chase mature whitetail. Visit their website, hammerhollowoutfitters.com, or call 410-903-2872. Hammer Hollow Outfitters, 410-903-2872 for geese, ducks, and quality bucks. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
I enjoy the memories of my hunts as much as I enjoy hunting. The best way to honor the game that you have taken is by preserving your trophy through taxidermy. My taxidermist is Don Travis of Travis Taxidermy near Chestertown. Don has mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, and my pronghorn antelope with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. With over 40 years of experience, Travis Taxidermy has completed specimens from wood ducks to whitetails for thousands of Maryland hunters to the exotic big game animals of Africa and Alaska and beyond. But he would just as soon see you with your buck or your youngster's first goose. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he's not. Nor is he the most expensive. expensive, but in my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have been transforming skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of your hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107. Stop by the showroom or visit TravisTaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for over 40 years. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto. Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade.
All right, we're back with John Mollican, who is Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service biologist. And he's got a big, long title, but basically he's a freshwater guy for the Potomac River and some of the freshwater areas in the Region 2, District 2 in western Maryland. How far east does your district come, John?
Well, I have Washington and Frederick County and then the Potomac River down to the D.C. line.
Gotcha. Okay. We had an email question that asked about the natural spawn you talked about at the big year in recruitment, the 2001. Wanted to know what conditions set up for the largest natural recruitment 2001 that you referred to.
Well, that's something that we look at quite a bit, obviously. We want
sure.
to see what, you know, what conditions would result in a successful hatch and try and predict what other years, what kind of reproduction we may have.
Right.
With most walleyes are like the other river fish, river flow and turbidity is probably the biggest cause for recruitment failure. In other words, if you have floods, it's
right.
critical periods. And I think one of the most critical periods for walleye is, unlike smallmouth that create a nest and have parental care, walleye's eggs are just scattered into the gravel, and they
right.
are in the spaces between the gravel. When those eggs hatch, the fry absorb a yolk sac, and that's nutrition in the very early life stages. And
right.
then once that's absorbed, they have to begin feeding, and they will feed on phytoplankton and zooplankton. And at that critical time when the yolk sac is absorbed and they emerge from the gravel, if the river is under flooding conditions or very turbid or muddy conditions, most of the year class will be lost
through
starvation.
Right. Okay. And if you have and do you know what the conditions were in 2001? I mean, did you have a heavy snowfall or?
Well, it was fairly stable conditions. We
okay.
had early flows that were higher flows, actually are, I think, pretty beneficial for walleyes to spawn. It gives them access to a
right.
lot of the type of substrate that they need. But then once they spawn, the river remains stable and to a sort of a slowly falling condition.
I see.
During those early life stages.
I got you. Okay, cool. Very good. All right, we have a caller on the 800 line here for you, Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How
good
you
morning.
Doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Al. How are you?
Good, Uncle Dale. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I wanted to ask John regarding smallmouth bass. You know, for years they've talked about the dual sex that have been showing up with some of the smallmouth bass. I wonder if he could provide any update on that situation. I know there have been a fair amount of research done. I think it was done on the Potomac in the West Virginia area. But I just wonder if John could provide any update on that situation.
Sure. Good morning, Dale. This Inland Fisheries has worked quite a bit with the USGS Fish Health Lab in Leetown. We're very fortunate to have that facility close by. They have been looking into the issue of the intersex, which is what that condition is called.
Hold on a second. John, hold on a second. Dale, please turn your radio down.
All right. Oh, I can't hear John.
Oh, I'm sorry. John, could you speak up just a little bit?
Sure.
Because we got the 7-second delay there, and we're hearing you twice.
Okay.
Is that better there, Dale?
A little bit, not much.
Okay. We have worked with the U.S. USGS National Fish Health Lab in Leetown, West Virginia. We're fortunate to have that facility close by to us and have their expertise handy. They have also worked with the neighboring states of Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, all looking into this issue, because this issue is not unique to the Potomac River. It's a very widespread issue. It's actually, with other species, it's even a national and a worldwide phenomenon. There are many things that could potentially result in that condition, primarily chemicals that are referred to as endocrine disruptors that mimic hormones, and there's a large list of potential sources for those. We do monitor natural reproduction of smallmouth and have for the past 37 years. Although the intersex condition can potentially, and in some studies with other fish, has shown that it can reduce their reproductive output, so far what we've seen in the Potomac River is that has not been the case as far on the population level. The reproduction of smallmouth, although it varies, fluctuates widely from year to year, that's a natural occurrence, and that's due to primarily river conditions again.
Yeah, river flow and turbidity. Yep.
Yes, flow, spring floods like we had this past spring, right when the bass are spawning, that has more of an effect at the current time on reproduction than the intersex condition would. But that is something that we have been looking at and are continuing to look at to try and find the sources of that. And then once the mechanisms and the sources that are potentially causing that condition can be identified, then we can seek solutions to try and limit those materials into the water.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Answer the question.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Talk
Thanks.
Later.
See ya. There goes Dale. All right, there goes Dale. John, we have to take a short break here, and we'll be right back in a few minutes with you, and we'll talk. I don't know if we've covered most of the walleyes stuff or not. Maybe we ought to talk a little bit about fishing techniques and then move into the muskies. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, well, let's take a short break here, and let me remind the folks about Clyde Sports Shop. They are your Browning hunting headquarters, a full-line Browning dealer. They carry all the semi-automatic shotguns that Browning provides, the A5, the new A5, the Maxis, which is the one that they're really touting on all the TV shows now, the Gold Light 10-gauge. They've got the BPS pump shotgun. All those are available in camo and different models, black and synthetic, and you name it. They've got the fancy wood and blued models. They've got the camo if you want a workhorse. They've got it all. And don't forget, the X-Bolt rifle is extremely accurate bolt action rifle for all the rifle counties, all the high powered caliber rifles, the magnums, the short mags. They've got it all. And so it's all available at Clyde Sports Shop. And they carry many other firearms as well, firearms for hunting and handguns and, deer guns and shotguns and you name it. It's at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Why not give them a call at 410-242-6108? That's 410-242-6108. Don't forget, full line of fishing tackle, too. By the way, they've got the great Nikon scopes.
and the Leopold scopes. You might want to check some of those scopes out, and the Thompson Center muzzleloader is coming up for the late muzzleloader season, too. Clyde's 242-6108. Website is clydesports.com.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Patrice Sikora. Airlines are charging fees for all kinds of things now, from baggage to bottles of water. And passengers are getting creative in finding ways to avoid paying. It's especially evident among customers of Spirit Airlines. The discount carrier does offer low fares, but it also charges a lot of fees, including for luggage. More than 25,000 people watched a YouTube video on how to pack a bag that would meet Spirit Airlines' strict carry-on limits. One loyal Spirit customer has even designed a bag to fit the roughly 16 by 14 by 12-inch space under Spirit seats. That's the only place the carrier guarantees bags can fly free. He says he sold thousands of the $70 bags. Other flyers say they wear bulky coats instead of packing them. They print tickets at home and let Spirit assign their seats to avoid fees for picking up tickets and choosing their own seats. Some even go to the airport to book flights so they don't have to pay a convenience fee for booking online. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I'm no good at math. I hate math.
I've always considered myself a good mother, but when it came to my son Billy's math, I was at a loss. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he kept falling further behind and losing confidence. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. You can order any subject from arithmetic to fractions, percents, algebra, even calculus. Concepts are simplified in an entertaining way, so students enjoy learning at their own pace, in the convenience of home. It's as easy as watching TV. Best of all, it's affordable for everyone. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now for a 30-day risk-free trial. 866-569-MATH. With Math Made Easy, your child will always be prepared and one step ahead. Call now, 866-569-MATH. That's 866-569-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
All righty, back with John Mollick, and let's talk a little bit about fishing techniques for walleyes, and then we'll move on to the big game. Do you have a favorite recipe for walleyes, by the way, John?
I haven't found a bad way to cook walleyes.
You can fry them, you can bake them, you can broil them, you can deep fry them. They're all good, that's for sure.
True, that's why we have to have special regs. Their downfall is that they're very good to eat.
Yep, they're like the flounder of fresh water, the way I like to describe them. They're just a very light, very firm flesh, very light taste, very nice, very good flavor. I love them, yep. So anyway, how do you fish for them?
Well, fishing for walleye really doesn't have to be that complicated. Usually, some simple lures are all you need. I think the biggest key to catching walleye by fishermen who the biggest trouble people would have, say if you were a bass fisherman, is location. Walleyes are a different critter and they have different habits. And,
yeah.
And to catch each species, you have to kind of adapt to the characteristics of that species, and particularly in the river, even during periods when the water is very cold, where the bass would be seeking very calm water, the calmest water they can find, and so on. Walleyes will still use the main river and the main flow of the river, not
right.
necessarily the strongest current, but
right.
they will still be using portions of the river that fishermen generally wouldn't be targeting other fish like bass during the colder periods of the year.
Okay, so inline spinners, plastic, soft plastics in light colors. The walleye's eyes are basically set up for night feeding. Is that correct?
Right. They can see very well. They do feed at night and under low light conditions.
Right.
Like you mentioned, jigs are probably the number one lure that catches walleyes
right.
out there.
Plastic jigs.
A good selection of eighths and quarter ounce
yep.
round head jigs, and then plastic trailers such as a 3 or 4 inch grub or bass assassin,
right.
finesse fish, those type of things.
White, light, silver, natural colors, chartreuse, orange, anything usually bright. Is that pretty much
well,
right?
Walleyes are known for seeing oranges and the greens, bright
yeah.
greens, better.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of baits that are targeted for walleyes feature those colors.
Are those bright pinks?
When the water's you know, clear, I generally lean a little more towards natural, little subdued colors.
And, yeah.
But they all work. I think the main thing is to get the baits down where walleyes are, which means close to the bottom.
Right.
For the most part, they even in areas with flow, they will tend to use the current breaks down on the bottom, and your bait has to be within 6 inches or so of the bottom to be most effective.
Right.
And crankbaits are also can be very effective for walleye.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's talk about muskies.
Okay.
All right. We have stocked in the Potomac River. When did we first start stocking them?
Well, we had two fisheries, muskie fisheries in the river for a while. Our stocking program began in 1989
okay.
and continued through 2006, and that was what we were stocking was a hybrid called a tiger muskie. It's a cross between a cross of a muskellunge, typically a female muskellunge with a male northern pike.
Okay.
And they're sterile. And they were stocked, again, from 1989 through 2006.
Right.
We also had occasionally captured a true muskie during the late 80s, and then we began to see natural reproduction of muskies in the mid-90s. The original source of those true pure-strain muskies is still a mystery. The fisheries service has not stocked muskies in the river.
Okay.
But we did notice we were getting reproduction in the 90s and the population began to develop then. It was probably a matter of having some of these adults in the population for a number of years, and then slowly the population built up to the point where it came on the radar screen. We started to get adequate reproduction, there were more reproduction, and the population started to grow. We discontinued stocking the tigers in 2006, and that was for two reasons. As one, as the pure strain population was developed,
right.
We no longer needed to stock the hybrid tiger muskies. Generally, any place the hybrids are stocked, survival is relatively low.
Right.
So we didn't have a lot of them in the fishery. Also, we were receiving obtaining our tiger muskies from the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission, which is a Great Lakes state and
right.
A highly contagious fish pathogen known as viral hemorrhagic septicemia, or
right.
VHS for short,
okay.
Was discovered in the Great Lakes region.
Right.
And then this pathogen had resulted in quite a few fish kills in the Great Lakes and
okay.
in that region, and has also affected many of the popular sport fish down here, walleye, smallmouth, muskies,
right.
and several others. So there was a moratorium on moving any fish from the Great Lakes states into other areas.
Okay.
So that's a reason that we discontinued stocking, but also in the case of the Potomac, it just was no longer needed.
Okay, so we got plenty of them, is what you're saying.
Yes, as far as muskies go.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're a large apex predator.
Sure, you don't need...
There aren't as many of them as there would be bass or any of the other
right.
species.
And a number of anglers don't catch them and keep them unless they want to, you know, have them mounted or whatever. They're not necessarily known for their table fare.
Right. Very, very few fishermen keep them.
And right.
Particularly the diehard muskie fishermen.
Well, with the advent of reproduction mounts and things like that, you can measure a fish, take a picture, and have your reproduction all at the same time, put the fish back in the river.
Right. Right, the best of all worlds.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, catch and release is very popular among the fellows that fish for those big muskies, that's for sure. So we do have a state record muskie that was recently established in the river, don't we?
Yes, we do. That was caught a year or so ago and by a young fisherman, and that is, I believe, 32 pounds.
Yep. I remember that boy was from West Virginia, I believe. He caught it on like 6 or 8 pound test. I can't remember. He had quite a fight on his hands. But
yes, he did.
Yeah.
It had an enormous girth for the length. That fish was it held its was actually somewhat unusual that the fish still was carrying her eggs
right
after the typical spawning season.
Right. Well. Maybe she was hungry. Who knows what happened there? But, all right, hang on there, John. We're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back after I tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop. We're talking about fishing now, and, of course, winter fishing is popular, becoming popular, and even for panfish and striped bass. Well, Clyde still has all the fishing tackle and live bait and everything you need for fishing. But, you know, it is hunting season, so let's not forget that Clyde's carries firearms and ammunition. They carry the muzzleloaders by Thompson Center for the late muzzleloader season. They've got, I've mentioned the waterfowl guns, the Browning shotguns, and, you know, they have others as well, of course, for shotguns. They also have some used firearms, too. People have traded their firearms in. And don't forget about their handguns for personal protection. They can walk you through the handgun licensing permit now and help you with your purchase on a handgun for personal or home protection. They carry ammunition. They carry all types of accessories. Don't forget about the gunsmithing services, too. Scope mounting, bore sighting, and repairs at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call at 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. The fishing hotline, if you want to check that out, is 247-FISH, 247-3474, 247-FISH, and that's Clyde Sports is the website, clydesports.com. Check them out. Tell them you heard about them right here on the Outdoors and Radio Show. If you're in there and you're just a regular customer, say, hey, I heard about you, Alan talking about you the other day. That always helps with any of our sponsors, Clyde Sports Shop, too. All right. We'll be right back after this.
Don't be fooled by cheap crab prices. That's bull stuff. NBS Seafood offers live Louisiana blue crabs during the off-season. Avoid the pre-steamed, mushy, flavorless crab scandal. Get your live crabs at NBS Seafood. You can enjoy your crabs tonight. Cook your own crabs to unlock that special flavor that fresh steamed crabs are famous for. Just 20 minutes in your steamer, so good your taste buds scream. We even have the crab spice for you. Call NBS Seafood at 410-271-3202. NBS Seafood now has Chincoteague and Pocomoke oysters in the shell or by the pint. Maryland crab meat, live Maine lobsters, live crawfish, wild-cut Gulf shrimp, and many fresh and flash-frozen delights, too. NBS Seafood has a roadside stand at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie next to Jim Donnie's RV. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2:30 to 6:30, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6:30. That phone number is 410-271-3202, 410-271-3202 for live crabs. NBS Seafood, no bull stuff sold here. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. The Doe Harvest Challenge is now statewide. Deer hunters, by donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the
the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
All right, back with John Mulligan and Mulligan, C-A-N. Sorry, buddy. The fisheries biologist for District 2. We're talking primarily about winter fishing or fishing for walleyes and muskies. Had an emailer wants to know if flathead and or blue catfish have any effect on these two species in the upper river.
Well, it'd be a little early to say. We have documented the presence of flatheads in the upper river in the Hagerstown area.
Really? How'd they get there?
Fisherman introduction would be...
Your guess.
Yeah, the guess. That's certainly the most likely.
Coming out of the Susquehanna and putting them in the Potomac just because they'd be closer to home.
Right.
Yeah, great.
Right.
Thanks.
And unfortunately, once they're there, eradication is not possible.
Right.
You have to control as best you can. So that's why it's illegal and we certainly want fishermen to realize the harm that they can cause by introducing
right.
invasive species. Walleye and muskies are not species that generally would be impacted by flathead catfish.
Right.
Other sunfish species like the red-breasted sunfish and other catfish species, the channel cats, would be most likely the species
that would be eaten
or out, have to deal with the competition from flatheads. And that's something that we, in the coming years are going to have to monitor and keep track of the flathead population in the upper river.
And
hopefully they won't expand.
Before we run totally out of time, you have tagged muskies and find that about a third of the muskies are eventually caught. Hopefully most of them are released. Anybody who's targeting muskies and knows how to fish for them has the proper catch and release tools, the net to bring them alongside and guide them into the net and release them right in the water without bringing them into the boat, that type of thing. And what would you like to tell the fishermen? I mean, as far as angler survey or anything like that, how can the fishermen help?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because anglers play a vital role in managing the Potomac muskie fishery.
Right.
As I mentioned, because they're a large apex predator, there's fewer of them than there are any of the other game fish species.
Right.
And so, therefore, we collect very few of them in the course of our routine samples.
Right.
And as you mentioned, the tagging survey indicates that 35% of the tagged fish are eventually caught. So that is catch and release is very important, and those tools that you mentioned are required to successfully release these fish.
Sure.
But what we get from the fishermen, we have a program. It's a voluntary creel diary program. Muskie fishermen that are interested in participating and fishing on the Potomac muskies, they can either obtain a creel diary form through our website, through the volunteer angler survey, or they can contact me directly, and I will provide them with one. And it's very simple. Basically, when they're fishing, they can record the number of anglers, if they're on a boat, the number of anglers, how many hours they fished, and the lengths of the muskies that they catch, and whether or not they're tagged. And this enables us to track angling catch rates, harvest rates, the size distribution of the population. And whereas in the typical surveys that we conduct, we might see 12 to 15 muskies a year.
Right.
By using the anglers, last year they reported 225.
Wow, okay.
So we have a much greater
handle on what's going on with that.
And we couldn't do that if we didn't have the participation from the fishermen.
Gotcha.
And the fishermen that participate and supply us at the end of the year with a filled-in creel diary sheet, we send them a muskie program volunteer fishing cap with an embroidered muskie on
it. Oh, cool. That's cool.
So it's a way to say thank you.
Yeah, that's nice.
Advertise the program. so that other fishermen might see it and ask them about it
uh-huh.
and get further participation.
I want one of them hats. How do I get one? Huh?
I have to fish for months.
I got you. John, I thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're going to go out here with a break, but I have to announce the winners of our muzzleloader contest. Drum roll, please. The winner of Emma Gets Her Gun is Rick DeSimone, an autographed copy of that, and we'll give Rick a call and get his address. The muzzleloader winner today is Ken Ramsey. Congratulations, Ken. You are the winner of the November muzzleloader, a Wolf muzzleloader from the fine folks at CVA, CVA.com, makers of CVA firearms and power belt bullets and other things. So we'll get in touch with these guys and get their information and get their stuff sent out to them. So very good. All right, John, look, I appreciate you joining us this morning. Do you have me penciled in for a day?
Sure can.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, my pleasure.
All right, buddy. I'll see you soon, I'm sure. And have a great holiday. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you, John.
All right, thank you. You do the same.
All right, thanks, John. And there goes John Mollican from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We hope you enjoyed this little conversation we had about muskies and walleyes. And I don't know if we'll be back after this or not. I think we will for just a short goodbye.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Every now and then, you tag a nice buck or a pretty drake duck, or you get a chance to go out west or Canada, Alaska, even Africa on a big game hunt. Or your youngster bags his first deer or goose. Now, you want to preserve the memory of that hunt and honor that trophy. Don Travis has mounted thousands of game animals from around the world at his shop, Travis Taxidermy, near Chestertown. Don's mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, my pronghorn antelope, with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. I like visiting my accountant, seeing his mountain lion, his coos deer, his elk, and his wife's African lion, all mounted by Travis Taxidermy. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he is not. Nor is he the most expensive. In my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have transformed skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of the hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy at 410-778-4107 or visit TravisTaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for 40 years.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410,
W&W Tire and Auto. He showed me how to cast a line, where the whitetail live and how to read their sign. He'd lean my gun up against a tree so he could hold a barbed wire fence for me. Yeah, I learned a lot from watching his ways, like how to hunt smart and how to be safe. He said, one of these days, son, you'll be grown. Remember what I taught you and pass it on.
That's what we have to do if we want to ensure the next generation is going to continue in the tradition and heritage of hunting. It is a fine, fine pursuit. Those of you who break the law in one way or another are how can I say this? You're ruining it. You're ruining the next generation.
you know, you're leading by bad example. We need you to be ethical. We need you to be law-abiding. We need you to stay within the limits. We need you to stay within the confines of the law. You know, written permission, don't trespass. Wear your orange, be safe, keep your muzzle pointed in a safe direction. You know, be ethical. Just have a tiny bit of care for the next generation and what you're teaching them. You know, the rest of you, those of you who are scofflaws and trespass and, you know, teach your kids to do the same thing, I have no respect for that. I have no care whether you kill a giant 10-point buck or not. You know, if you're going to do it illegally or out of season or, you know, trespassing or poaching, what good is it? It's a lie is what it is. It's a lie. And whatever momentary gratification you get from it, you know it's a lie. Anyway, that's my speech for today. Folks, you have a great time out there in the great outdoors. My name is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. You can email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Hit us on Facebook, The Outdoorsman Radio Show, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs, or Ellis Outdoors LLC. Email me at Ellis, my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com, and we'll try to get back to you. We have a couple of emails outstanding we got to get back to. We know you're out there, and we will get back to you. Been doing a little hunting, that's all. That's the only reason. So now it's time for me to say get out, stay safe. Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor.